You have your Bibles this morning, if you will turn to Jonah chapter number 1. While you're turning there, do remember our pastor. It's been 2 years since their house fire, and in their hotel there they had a fire alarm go off early in the morning, and I think that probably rattled them a little bit to have to evacuate a building again in the middle of the night. And just remember them, and as they're traveling, and our pastor also preaching this morning at Zohar and this evening at Paducah. He's always busy when he's not away, and just remember them. Jonah chapter 1, I've preached many messages out of the book of Jonah, and there's so many new things always to learn in the book of Jonah. There's just so many, many lessons, many different things that we can get from the book. We'll begin reading in verse number 1 of chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh. Last week our pastor preached about the word of the Lord and about the preaching of the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Jonah was a preacher. He was one of God's men that he used, and we would get the sense from reading the book of Jonah that Jonah understood what his calling was and was used to the word of God coming to him and was used to preaching. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, enemies of God's people. He said, go to those people and tell them how bad they are. And you can imagine his hesitation. They're an enemy city. They're a wicked city. I would be hesitant. We all would be hesitant. We can understand his hesitation. Certainly, I wouldn't want to go downtown Flint and just randomly begin telling people how bad they are. It's just, I don't have any desire to do that. And so we understand his hesitation, but the word of the Lord came to Jonah. That's significant. And we see in verse number 3, but Jonah. We see that he's against this, and he rose up to flee to Tarshish. And in verse 4, we see, but the Lord, starts out verse number 4. And then in verse 5, but Jonah. And it goes back and forth like this, but the Lord, but Jonah, but the Lord, but Jonah. And who do you think is going to win? I mean, it's only obvious. The interesting thing about Jonah, the scary thing about Jonah, the first observation here that we make about Jonah is that he was unaffected, or seemingly unaffected, by the word of the Lord. That's a scary thought to me. Jonah was a preacher of righteousness, unaffected by the word. He was a man that God chose to use and yet was unaffected by the word. What does that mean to me? That means that anybody is in serious danger of being unaffected by the preached word of God. And I believe our pastor does a very good job at preaching the word. In fact, I believe better than anybody I know. The more that I preach and the more that I have pastored and the more that I learn, the more that I respect our pastor. It's easy, perhaps, to go to a Bible conference once in a great while and preach a great message once a year. And to be very biblical and to be very studied once a year. But three times, four times a week is very studied and does a very good job. And we ought to be affected by that. I mean, if this is a place where the Word of God is preached, and the Word of God, it has nothing really to do with the preacher. It is what it is. It's powerful, it's living, and whoever preaches it, we should be affected by the Word of God. Jonah was a preacher and yet unaffected by the Word of God. So I say that you could be Baptist, you could be saved, you could be really trying and be unaffected by the Word of God. That's a scary, scary thing. That's a very, very dangerous place to be unaffected by the Word of God. The parable of the sower and the seed that Jesus spoke in the gospel message, and it's recorded in several of the gospel messages, he talked about how some seed fell on stony ground, and some seed fell on ground that had weeds, and some seed fell on the wayside where it was rocky, and some fell on good ground. And we learn from that there are some that are not really saved. And we learn that there are some that are saved, and some look like they're saved, but they're not saved. And then he turns to his disciples who are saved, and he says, I want you to also learn something from this parable. And he turns to them and he says, be careful how ye hear. That was the lesson that he gave from the parable of the sower. That we're to take heed how we hear, how we listen. It's a beautiful day today, and it's very easy for our thoughts to stray. You know, our thoughts can stray to that afternoon nap. They can stray to that, if you're like me, to that NASCAR race. You're hoping that maybe you can get your pile of munchies situated, and maybe the kids will be calm, and you can take in some of that race and just feed yourself, you know. Or whatever it may be. When you're young, they're all different thoughts of summer by now that are racing through your brain. And I used to take vacations, and sometimes Dwayne and I would go fishing for a week, and those types of things, man, I would think about those all day long, every day until they happened. Things carry us away from the message of the Word of God, but we need to discipline ourselves to be careful how we hear. That we would not be unaffected by the Word of God. You know, I can tell that we're unaffected by the Word of God when our pastor steps out of the pulpit and all you can hear is zip, 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 fold, fold, crunch. We're done. We're ready to be gone. And we ought to be just wringing our hands from the Word of God. Not wanting to get out of our pew. Unaffected by the Word of God. It's a terrible condition. Hebrews chapter 5, the Apostle Paul was trying to expound upon some doctrine, and he said, I have a whole bunch more things to say, but he said, you can't hear it. You're dull of hearing. You'll not get it. I can explain and explain and explain it to you. It's kind of sometimes how I feel about my bosses at work. I can explain and explain and explain the way we need to run business, and it's like in one ear, out the other, you know. It's a horrible, horrible condition, but it gets worse. It gets worse. We know the story of Jonah. There's so many lessons in here that I'd like to cover, but we just simply can't. But notice, we know the story that he was swallowed by the whale. And he prayed and prayed and prayed, and we see his testimony in verse 5 of chapter 2. He said, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. He said, you think you've seen the bottom of the mountain standing there on dry ground? He says, it goes a lot deeper. He says, I've been down underwater to the very bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars about me forever. You know, one of the things I like about the thought here in chapter 2 is that there's no place. There's no place that you can't cry out to the Lord from. You can feel as though you have sunk to a depth of sin and misery such that there's no hope. Well, Jonah was in a fish in the bottom of the ocean, buried in his sin, running from God in great rebellion. We saw in the previous chapter that the mariner said, What do we do with you to make the sea calm? And, you know, notice Jonah didn't say, well, let's just sail towards where I'm supposed to go and it'll be okay. No, he still wasn't willing. I mean, he was so rebellious and so disobedient to the Word of God that he said, just throw me overboard, I'd rather die. Well, you know what? You're not in control. And old Jonah, see, he thought he was just going to die, but that wasn't in his hands either. God wasn't even going to let him die. God had prepared a fish. Jonah thought, well, I'd probably die of hypothermia in just a couple minutes. I'll go into shock. I won't feel a thing. I'd rather do that than be obedient to God. I'd rather do that than follow the Word of God. But the Lord had a warm-blooded mammal, some strange creature. My son tells me that whales are warm-blooded. And that's what you would need to survive. You couldn't just be swallowed by anything out there. You'd need a warm-blooded mammal to swallow you and keep you warm. And that's what the Lord provided. And he's down there and he's praying out of there, and the Lord heard him. And we read in verse 10 of chapter 2 that the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah out on the dry land. I tell you, the fish seems to have more sense than Jonah. The fish was affected by the word of the Lord. The Lord said, spit him out. He spit him out. You know, people can't figure out why whales beach themselves. It's a great mystery. They think it's naval sonar and all kinds of crazy things. The Lord said, beach yourself. And he did. He was obedient. He was affected by the word of God. I tell you, I want to be a fish. I want to be affected by the word of God. Chapter 3, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Arise and go. And we know that by now he's realized he has to. There's no choice. He serves the sovereign God. There's no choice. He's realized he has to, but we'll find out that he's still unaffected by the word of God. Not only is he now unaffected by the word of God, but he's unaffected by the wrath of God. He has not let chastening affect his heart. Oh, he's given in to the fact that he's going to have to do what God says because he's got no choice. He's a sovereign God. He can't even die if he wants to die because he serves a sovereign God. And so he goes and he preaches to Nineveh. I want you to notice that Nineveh was affected by the word of God. Nineveh was affected. He went there and preached. Verse 4 of chapter 3, Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even unto the least of them. For word came from king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered him in sackcloth and in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by decree of the kings and nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast nor herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, cry mightily unto God. Let them turn every one from his evil way and from violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn his face away from fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they repented, that they were affected by the word of God. God repented from evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. They were affected. The king, the wicked king of this town, was affected by the word of God. Everybody in this wicked city was affected by the word of God. In chapter 4, verse 1, but it displeased Jonah. We see that Jonah's heart is still hard. Jonah's unaffected by the word of God. Jonah's even been chastened, and he's unaffected by the wrath of God. There are many people suffering many things, and they get through it. They patch themselves up, they put on some band-aids, and they go on their way, and they're unaffected. Now Jonah's all depressed, and he prayed, and he said, I pray thee, O Lord God, was not this in my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish, For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness and repentest thee of evil. I knew you'd save him. That's why I didn't want to go. Boy, he's got some serious issues still, doesn't he? And now he's miserable. He knows it's of no use to even try to kill himself. He said, for I know that thou art a gracious God and merciful. Verse 3 of the last chapter there. Therefore, O Lord, I beseech thee, I beg you, take my life from me. He's miserable. He's unaffected by the word of God. He's unaffected by the chastening of God, the wrath of God. Where is our fear of the Lord? We've been studying in the book of Proverbs on Wednesday nights, and it tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's when you're just starting to get it, is when you start getting scared. If you're not scared of the wrath of God, then you've got major issues. Not only is Jonah unaffected by his experience of being swallowed by the whale, he's unaffected also by the works of God. Seeing a wicked, wicked city saved, you'd have thought that'd have broke any heart. To view and to see God's mercy happening, to comprehend the mercy, the way that Jonah comprehended mercy. I mean, Jonah really had a strong comprehension of mercy there. I mean, he trusted the mercy of God so much that he knew God would save that wicked city. That's why he didn't want to go, because it was his enemy. I knew you'd do that. I know that thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness and repentest thee of the evil. You always turn from your wrath. You always do these things. That's the way you are. He knew so much about the works of God, and yet it did not affect him. It's another very scary place to be. You know, we have a responsibility to be affected by these things. You know, we're going to be judged as to how much these things affect us, how much the message, when it's preached, affects us. We're going to be judged about that. Sometimes people, I used to hear people say about Brother Titus, oh, I wish he would do this or that, or I wish he'd plan more things for the young people, or I wish. That's not what we need. We need to just be affected by the things God is doing. Be affected by the Word of God. Oh, get-togethers are good and whatnot, but the pastor has a plateful. I pastored 12 members. That's a plateful. That's all you can do. And that's enough. That's full time. Maybe hard to realize that unless you're in the ministry, but it's work. And the Word of God is what we need to be affected by. If the Word of God doesn't change them, there's no get-together, there's nothing else that will do it. There's nothing. The Word of God and the wrath of God and the works of God don't do anything to people, then they're in bad, bad shape. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. This is a scary thing. I've been trying to concentrate on this for a while. Trying to not let my flesh make the Word of God ineffective. Because it will. You'll find yourself in a blank stare. And you'll find yourself not heeding, not living by the words of God. You can love the message and you can go home and it's just gone. It's not there. It's not practiced. Nothing happens. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 20, Jesus says, then he began to upbraid or rebuke the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. He went to certain cities and he did more works in some cities than other cities, and yet these cities never repented. In fact, a lot of them just wanted him to leave. The city that he cast all the devils out of a man and cast him into a swine, they just begged him to get out of their city. Leave us. He said, verse 21, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." In other words, what this verse is saying, it would be similar to saying, if the people in Flint have heard the message and seen the things that you have seen, they would have repented a long time ago. If the people in the ghetto, if the people on the streets knew what you knew, they'd be right. Long ago, long before you, they would turn their lives around and change. Only God can make such a statement, because He can see down in your heart and He knows what it will take to make you repent. And He knew what it would take to make them repent. And He said, Tyre and Sidon would have repented long ago. You know, you have a responsibility to be affected by the Word of God. I believe in sovereign grace, and I believe the Holy Spirit will make things effective, but that does not take away your responsibility to be affected. We can't sit around and pray, "Oh Lord, just work on us." He's working. You need to be affected. You have a responsibility to be affected, a responsibility to be changed. Verse 22, he says, "But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you." These are scary words. It'll be better for those on the day of judgment than for you. For all that you've seen, all that you've heard, all that you've known. "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven." Capernaum seemed like such a spiritual city. "Thou shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom..." They'd have been done in Sodom, they would have repented. Can you imagine that? Oh, we think of Sodom as just horrible. Even the best, or even the worst of people, even lost people think Sodom's bad. And he said, if I'd have done the same things and said the same things to Sodom, they would have repented long ago. Long ago they would have turned. It would have remained to this day. "But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." These are strong words. The psalmist David, turn back to Psalms. David had some problems, but he was a very spiritual man, and he was greatly affected by the Word of God. When he sinned, he repented very bitterly. Psalm 143, verse 5. David said, "I remember the works of old." I think about what you did with Israel way back when. I think about your miracles, and I think about those things. "I meditate on all thy works." All throughout the day, I'm chewing on these things that God has done. I'm sorting them out in my mind, and I'm digging deeper to find more truths about them. I'm trying to find it anywhere I can. I'm trying to absorb it in any direction I can. I'm trying to surround myself with it, fill my thoughts with it. "I muse on the works of thy hands." If I'm walking down the road, I look around and I consider what you've done. And I think about it. And I contemplate you. I'm affected by you. I think about you. I'm meditating upon you. I think sometimes we're just so full of so many other things that causes us to be unaffected by the things of God. In Psalm 19, notice how David was affected. Psalm 19, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." Every day shows the wisdom of God, and every night the knowledge of God. When I look at all of these things, he said, it affects me. It affects me. How many countless days has the sun risen? That great, amazing thing that never burns out. How many countless days has it risen up in the sky, this thing that you can't even look at? And it doesn't even affect you. It doesn't even cross through your mind, the creation of God and how awesome that it is. How amazing and past understanding that it is. Speaking of who He is, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. No matter what tribe, what people you are, the creation is a living, breathing testimony of God. It's one of His works. The day after day after day, we are unaffected by that great work. It's a scary, scary place to be in. To be unaffected by the Word of God, the wrath of God and the works of God. Turn back to Jonah and let's just finish out the chapter there. Jonah requested that he might die. In verse 4 of the last chapter, chapter 4, Then said the Lord, now this is the word of the Lord coming to him again. The Lord is so patient with him. If you're here this morning, the word of the Lord is coming to you for the millionth time. He's so very patient. We've heard it, and we've heard it, and we've heard it. And I can't exclude myself from this because Jonah was a preacher. How many times are we unaffected by the Word of God? Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? You know, most people that aren't serving the Lord are angry at Him. Whether they're willing to admit it or not, they're angry. You know, if they were God, they'd run things differently. They really would. And we might not say that out loud in our mind, but really, that's what we're saying. We're saying, I would do it differently. We complain about the weather. We complain about our finances. We complain about all these things. And what we're really saying is, I would do it differently. If you had all control right now, if we're honest with ourselves. We're saying, I would do it differently. We're angry with God. Doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat down under the shadow of it till he might see what would become of the city. He's still holding out chance that God might destroy that city just because he's mad. How many of you are holding out for your ridiculous prayers and things that you think should happen? And they're every bit as ridiculous as this, really. Really, they are. And the Lord prepared a gourd. This little gourd. The Lord told it to grow, and so it's growing. We've seen some interesting things in this book of Jonah. We've seen a fish with more sense than a preacher. We've seen a gourd growing just because the Lord said grow. All of creation obeying the Lord. All of creation works in harmony, serving the nature that God gave to them, serving the purpose that God gave to them. And here's this gourd. It grows up to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Oh, he was so happy about this little gourd that grew up. But God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day and smote the gourd that it withered, spoke to a little worm, says, I want you to go eat that little gourd. And the little worm was obedient to the Lord. The little worm was affected by the word of the Lord. It came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. He told the wind, he said, I want you to blow. And the wind blowed. And the sun did beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted, and he wished himself to die, and he said, it is better for me to die than live. All over a stupid little gourd. You know, I think one of the reasons why we're not affected by the word of the Lord is we're consumed with stupid little gourds. We're consumed with the little things that just make us happy in our flesh, that just give this body a warm feeling. We're just so consumed. It's so easy to be consumed with this world. It's so easy to get our thoughts just so entangled. It doesn't take me long when I work a place to be completely overcome with how I'm going to make it run like a smooth oiled machine. I mean, it just consumes me. My wife always says when I start a new job, now don't get all tangled up and you're just here to work and then go home. But I want to make it really run, because I've seen a business really run and I have seen some of the things that an optical business needs to really run. And so I always want to plug those in everywhere I go. And I can get to where I'm just sitting there thinking about those things. And I think, why? Why am I thinking about that? When I leave, they'll go back to their ways. I should be thinking about the things of the Lord that may have a lasting effect on me and them. Can get more concerned about changing the way they run their business rather than changing the way they live their lives. Why? We're prone to that. We carry this flesh around with us. We're prone to those things. We're prone to be completely consumed in the world and in meaningless little gourds. Why do we want the business to run? So that it makes money. So that we all have more money. So we all have more little gourds, you know? And we forget about the one that can just say, grow. Grow. There's a gourd. We forget about that. We're so consumed with nothingness. Jonah now wants to die because his gourd died. How ridiculous. Verse 10, then said the Lord. Well, let's back up. Verse 9, and God said to Jonah, here's the word of the Lord again. Are you going to be affected by it this time, Jonah? It's coming to you for the millionth time. Is it going to change you? And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? Notice Jonah, he's still got some major issues. I do well to be angry. Boy, don't ever question somebody's feelings. They don't take that well. They want you to jump on and be angry with them. You know, somebody's ranting and raving about something. What they really want is you to rant and rave with them. I do well to be angry, even unto death, over this gourd. I mean, he's in a mess. But you know, one of the wondrous things about this book is the Lord, he's not done. I mean, I'd have said, if Jonah was my project, I'd have said, sorry, Jonah. Okay. He said, I do well to be angry. Okay, Jonah, die. That's what you want, die. That's what I would have done. But verse 10, then said the Lord, here comes the word again. Lord's still working on Jonah. And the word of the Lord does not return to him void. You know, God had a plan all along. He had a plan for the men that were on the ship. I believe many of them were saved. That was God's plan all along. God knew exactly what Jonah was going to do. And God is teaching Jonah. And I believe God wanted Jonah just to get to this very low place over something very stupid as this gourd, so that he could teach him something here. So then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern their right hand and their left hand? I believe we have this book of Jonah because I believe Jonah finally got it. We're not told that. I just like to believe it. I believe the word of God does not return unto him void, and I believe that I believe we have this whole story because Jonah must have told somebody, hey, this is what the Lord said to me and did to me. I can't prove that, but that's just my assumption. But he's teaching Jonah a whole lot of things about who he is, how insignificant he is, about His mercy and His working and how out of proportion Jonah's thinking is. You know, when we're unaffected by the Word of God and unaffected by the wrath of God and unaffected by the works of God, we're in a place where our eyesight is very much out of proportion. And God brought him to this place where he cared so much about a little gourd that he just wanted to die over it. And he showed him how out of focus he was. Notice what God said there in that last verse. He said, "Should not I spare this Nineveh, that great city where are more than 6,000 persons?" That's 120,000 people that cannot discern between their right and left hand. That means that there are 120,000 of them that are not yet come to the intelligence level to know right from left. So either he's saying there's 120,000 children, or there's, in either case, there's 120,000 there that just simply don't even know the right hand from the left hand. Much less, how could they discern spiritual things? How could they know that they were wicked? How could they know any of these things? He said, "I'm not destroying them." Do we see the tenderness of God here in this statement? Brother Tim talked about that in the last days they'll be without natural affection. I just can't fathom the things that people are doing that are in the news almost every single day to children. And it makes me want to find these people, and I can't even think of anything worse enough to do to them. Jesus said in the New Testament, he said, it would be better for them to have a millstone around their neck and have them thrown in the sea. That would be the better option than what I'm going to do to them. And we see his affection here for the little ones, the tender ones that don't even know the right hand from their left hand. He said, "I'm not going to destroy this city. There's 120,000 there that don't even know the right hand from their left hand." Jonah, where's your mind? Where's your heart? Don't you care? We get in a bad place, and one of the side effects of not being affected by the things of God is that our heart gets very cold. That Jonah would watch 120 children rather die than this stupid little gourd? I mean, how crazy is that? But that's where we are. You don't realize it, but you've gone crazy. Many don't realize it, but their mind no longer works in any rational form at all. That's what sin will do. It will make it so that your mind does not work in any rational form at all. You think it does. You think what you're doing makes sense. The serial killer thinks what he's doing makes sense. The person that takes a hammer and bashes a child thinks it makes sense at the time. Don't you understand that that is the danger of sin and not being affected by the Word of God? Is if the Word of God isn't what leads and guides you, then you're in very bad shape. Spiritually, mentally, in every shape and form. And you know, God has the power to just let you go. In the book of Acts, he talks about people that do such heinous things. How did they get to be homosexuals? How did they get to be so twisted? And he gives the answer in the book of Acts. He says, "I let them go." You see, he was keeping together their sanity for a while, and he just let them go. We think of King Nebuchadnezzar. He let him go. He became an animal. You think you're a self-made man. You're not. You think that you have some reasoning and intelligence because you've come by it somehow. No, it's a gift. And he can remove that at any time. He can make you the biggest fool there ever was. You could lose your mind so quick. And the world and sin will do that to you. Oh, I heard an old preacher preaching on the radio. He said, "We don't need any more Jonas. One was enough. We don't need any more people unaffected by the Word of God. One was enough." But we get that way. Oh, that I heard him preaching about that. It just scared me to death. That a preacher could be unaffected by the Word of God. That he could have a gift from God that allows him to know more about it than anybody else. And have intellectual knowledge about it and be unaffected. I have to confess, I've been there more often than I want to be, unaffected by the things that are in this book. Deep and weighty things. Unaffected by the blood. Jesus Christ. When the gospel's message is preached, are you bored? Oh, just another gospel message. We already know these things. Are you always wanting something new? Do you not relish in the old things? You know, one of the things that frustrates me about Christian radio is they're always trying to play something new. I think if this is Christian radio, what was good last year should be good this year. There are good songs that came out last year, but they don't play them anymore because they're looking for something new. If it sung about the truth in a nice way with a nice melody, it blessed me last year, it'll bless me this year. But they don't want to play that anymore. Unaffected by the message that's in it. Looking for something else to create some excitement. Looking for a social program. Wanting the preacher to do something else. Something else. We need this. We need that. You're unaffected by the Word of God. Remember Lazarus and the rich man. And the rich man in hell. He said, send Lazarus from the dead. If he raises from the dead, they'll believe him. And Abraham said, no, they won't. No. If they're not affected by this, they'll not be affected. Even if someone raises from the dead, they're in bad shape. They would not be affected by that miracle. If they're not affected by the Word of God, they'll not be affected by the works of God or the wrath of God. It's a very sad, scary, that ought to just scare you to death as a Christian, to think that Jonah could be unaffected by all those things. Be so entrenched in bitterness and so out of focus that he'd rather see a gourd live than 120,000 children, like the children that Brother Tim spoke about this morning. Helpless little kids with parents that don't care about them. When I look at the tenderness of my little children and I think about children in this world, it just breaks my heart that people don't care about them. But that's where we'll end up. That's where we'll all end up. The Bible says in the last days we'll be without natural affection. Why is that? Because we'll turn aside unto doctrines and fables, it tells us also in that same book. We'll turn aside unto all kinds of nonsense and be unaffected by the Word of God. I'm scared to death. We all have sat under some of the greatest preaching this world has ever known. And be unaffected. To not be doers of the Word. That's scary. That's a very scary thing. And all of us, to some degree, have been unaffected by the Word of God. Great and huge things will happen in your life, and you know what? They won't change you. My son Benjamin was a miracle I believed I watched happen before my eyes. How long before that's dull and unaffecting? Things that we see, healings and great works of God, how long before it doesn't affect? We think, why doesn't God just come down and do this or that, and then people would believe? No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't do it. We see in the book of Revelation that as God is performing his wrath and his mighty works upon the earth, that men will shake their fist at him while he pours out fire and punishments upon the earth, shaking their fist at him, unaffected. It's a scary, scary thing to think about. Oh, we ought to pray. Oh, we ought to listen. Oh, we ought not want to close our Bibles when the pastor steps out of the pulpit, clinging on to every last thing, praying that our flesh would get out of the way and everything that prevents us from being affected by the Word of God would not get in the way. It's a scary thing. Thank you.